Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And one of the perks of living in a college town is that right under our noses, you can usually find something interesting going on at the university. And at Bemidji State University, they offer some great experiences all year in the art department. Just to name a couple that come to the top of my head, the Tally Art Gallery and the Gallery X usually have exhibits going that are amazing and they're free to visit. And in the music department, special concerts and events are happening throughout the year as well, from thumping drum ensembles to mesmerizing dances from far-off places. The recital halls in the Bangsburg Fine Arts Complex are often home to something inspiring. And this weekend at the Bangsburg Recital Hall, an event that unless you live in a college town, you might not get a chance to see is happening. It's a faculty recital. Dr. Jennifer Olson will be performing at 7:30 p.m. Saturday evening. She's a professor of voice at Bemidji State University, and she's here this morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
What do you teach as a professor of voice?
A lot of different things.
Okay.
As a vocal professor, you teach voice, yeah. Right? Which is a little bit different than what sometimes people think, in the sense that we approach the voice as an instrument. So we are looking for how it functions and how to make that function as efficient and natural as possible. And that can take a long, long, long time, because it takes a tremendous amount of self-awareness and exploration. So that it takes time. And also the human voice doesn't mature until the early to mid 30s.
Really?
Yeah. So 18 is a very young voice.
So sometimes we hear people when they're, let's say, old rockers or, you know, old older musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes their voice sounds exactly the same as it did in the old days. And sometimes it's like, what happened?
Yeah. Well, you know, when people sing in a way that is efficient and natural, they can do it for their whole lives. When people modify their voices in ways that go against their natural function, then that's going to wear and tear over time, and they're not going to be able to do that forever.
What kind of work goes into obtaining a doctorate in voice?
To obtain a doctorate in just about anything does take quite a bit of dedication and work. For me, it took 11 years. Mm-hmm. I did my undergraduate, which for me took 5 because I chose to study abroad. And then you do a master's degree, you get through your undergraduate. And if you want to go on in performance, usually you can do a music major, like a performance major, but not always. Sometimes people do music education and then decide, you know, I really love teaching, but there's more I want to try with what I can do. And so then you audition for grad school, and a master's program usually takes 2 years. And then if you decide, yep, I really love this and I want to teach someday at the collegiate level and have a much deeper understanding of the function of this mechanism, then you audition for a doctoral program, and that's usually 3 years.
Okay. What's an audition like?
Ooh. It's intense. So it's very, very competitive, mm-hmm. because, you know, there aren't a lot of places. So there's usually a lot of people competing for a few spots, especially women. As a soprano, it's much, much more competitive, because I like to say, you throw a dime in the air, it hits 9 of us on the way down, sopranos. We are a dime a dozen. You find us everywhere. So the competition is pretty intense. Usually they prescribe what they expect you to prepare. So those requirements are going to be different based on what you're auditioning for. So if you were to audition as an undergraduate, most likely it would be 1 foreign language piece and 1 a piece in English, usually a classical art song of some kind, or an old Italian aria or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you audition for a master's program, usually there's at least a minimum of 5 requirements. Usually they want to hear opera arias and some art song, and generally speaking, they want to see French, Italian, German, and English at the very least. Those are the minimum requirements. And then for a doctorate, it's more than that. So it's intense.
No kidding. When did you realize that this would be a career path for you?
Well, I kind of fell into it by accident. When I was in high school, I had a horse, and that's all. I was obsessed. That's all I wanted to do. I got to my senior year, and my friend tricked me into auditioning for the musical. This was the last semester of my senior year.
What was the musical?
The musical was South Pacific.
Okay.
And I got the lead role by a complete raw accident. And I loved it. It was really fun. And then I wanted to go to a school that was nearby, and it was a private school. It was expensive. And so my dad said, you got to get a scholarship. And I got some academic scholarships, but I knew I needed more. And so I thought, well, gosh, I just did this musical. I'm going to try out for music. And I had been playing piano for, you know, since I was young and been in choirs and stuff, but I never thought about it seriously. So I went to college and they said, you have to at least minor, because they gave me some money. And so I started minoring, and then then my teacher exposed me to this body of music that just took over my life. I became totally obsessed with it because it is just so incredible. And so even when it gets hard, and even when I've wanted to quit, I just can't not get into that music. I just can't. It's just too beautiful.
What kind of music are you talking about?
I'm talking about, yeah, good question. Sorry, I'm not being specific.
No, it's good.
I'm talking about French chanson, so in the classical genre, and German Lieder, a lot of art song that we have, so Copland, Barber, you know, and then there's a lot of modern composers I really love, like Libby Larson, who is like a legend in the classical world. She's still around. She's a modern composer. And then also the old Italian school of bel canto. So arias from operas and things like that. So that's kind of, I got into that world and my eyes were just opened, and I haven't been able to put it down since.
Wow, that's Jennifer Olson. She's a professor of voice at Bemidji State University, and you're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show on KAXE and KBXE. Jennifer, you have performed in venues around the world as a vocalist. Are there any that come to mind, just light you up when you think about an experience at a specific venue somewhere in Italy? Or I know you've been all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, a seminal experience for me was living in Italy. I lived in Milano, and I got to perform at some old, like really old villas in the city. You know, that was, and even the conservatory where I studied was an old villa, an old Italian villa, and it has been a conservatory for 250 years. And so, you know, not much has changed really. It's like going back in time. So it's pretty amazing experience.
Wow. So you've been in villas in Italy and conservatory, and now the Bangsburg Recital Hall Saturday night.
Yes.
What are you going to be singing?
I'm really excited about the program. First, I'm going to be performing with a pianist named Jenya Trubnikava. She's also, we met at the University of Minnesota. We were both getting our doctorates. She's a collaborative pianist, and she's amazing, and any opportunity I have to work with her, I do. And we are going to be performing some very standard Schubert songs. So they are Heiden Röslein, Du bist die Ruh, and Gretchen am Spinnrade, which is Gretchen at the spinning wheel. So one of them is about, well, I'll talk about it at the concert. Anyway, we're also going to do a whole set of Debussy songs, Claude Debussy, French music. And it's most of them are based on the Commedia dell'arte characters. So this was like, you know, Punch and Judy. These are the stock characters that Punch and Judy are based off of.
Those dolls?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So those are really fun. And then we're going to do one of my favorite pieces of all time, which was originally written for voice and orchestra. It's called Knoxville, Summer of 1915. It was composed by Samuel Barber. We're doing it for piano and voice. We've reduced the score. It's like a snapshot of... It's like an audio time capsule of what life was like in Knoxville in 1915. So it's really magical. And then we're gonna finish with Libby Larson's set called Cowboy Songs. Libby Larson is a living composer here in Minnesota. She's a Minnesota native, and she is one of the most eminent and exciting composer, modern classical composers in the genre. She's well known.
Huh. And a woman, a female.
And a woman, yes.
It seems kind of rare.
You know, it's not as rare as you would think now.
Oh, good.
You know, I don't think classical music gets as much as exposure as a lot of other genres, and so we're not quite as familiar with it. But there are a lot of really great women composers and composers of color out there who are composing incredible art song and classical music.
Awesome.
So,
okay, so there are a lot of people who would love to take voice lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I would, and I did when I was like a 7th and 8th grade
mm-hmm.
kid. Could you share maybe a couple exercises somebody might do that would have a big effect on their quality of singing, whether it's maybe just in church or heck, in your car?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good question. I think the disclaimer here is that every voice is so unique and different that to give you like one exercise or two exercises mm-hmm. that everybody should do to a certain degree has its limitations, right? But I think the first and foremost thing I would say is practice every day. Get yourself a routine and practice every day. And particularly for aging voices, this is incredibly important because cartilage ossifies as we get older. And if you keep it moving every day, great singers can keep going all the way up into their 80s beautifully. At any rate, so a good exercise is anything that is called semi-occluded or partially closed, meaning that we create resistance somewhere. So for instance, like a lip trill, or a tongue trill, or even just humming, creates resistance, a little bit of resistance. And that can be really important and soothing to your voice. So any kind of semi-occluded exercises. People can do it on V's too. For instance, yeah. So anything like that is good. Practicing scales, practicing arpeggios, those are all good for anybody, no matter what genre you're singing.
What's an arpeggio?
An arpeggio is, for instance, do, mi, so, mi, do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a scale is stepwise motion. So do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Wow. Are there any foods that a person should eat or maybe things they should veer? Obviously, cigarettes would be something you don't
want to
veer
clear
of. But some maybe things that we don't think about that could damage our voices?
Like really spicy foods can be irritating to the vocal cords. You want to be careful with that. Everybody's a little bit different in how they react to foods. But, you know, if you have acid reflux, that can be a huge problem when you're singing because the acid comes up and irritates the bottom of your cords. And eventually when it gets bad enough, it will cause swelling. So avoiding foods that would naturally cause you to have a little bit of reflux is something you want to be careful of. But then, you know, there are things like I know that when I'm singing a lot, one of the things that can sort of take away phlegm is apple slices. So something like that. But yeah, you just want to avoid any irritation and things that are soothing, you know. You can get those cool aloe drinks. Apple slices are really helpful. Hot drinks can be good too.
Is carbonation?
It doesn't really. I mean, unless it creates... For some people, carbonation can create some acid reflux. Oh. And for those people, then it would be better to avoid carbonated drinks. But if carbonated drinks don't create that for you, they're not going to really affect your voice. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is Dr. Jennifer Olson. As I said earlier, her faculty recital is going to be at 7:30 p.m. Saturday night in the Bangsburg Recital Hall. Something that you will walk away feeling much more cultured about yourself, I would think. I think exposure to some classical music is always kind of fascinating and wonderful.
Well, and it's meant to be accessible. It's meant to be accessible. So I always love to give some intros and talk about what it's about and what it means. And
I should ask, what do people do? So you're a professor. Mm-hmm. You're teaching at the college level. What else do people do after they get a degree in voice?
Oh, well, that's a really good question. There are lots of things we can do. So, for instance, music therapy is a big thing. I have a lot of friends who get a undergrad music therapy degree, and then there's even a master's music therapy degree, and these people are going out into nursing homes, they're going into schools, they're going into hospitals, and it's amazing what they, especially for dementia patients, what they can do. It's phenomenal, and there are a lot of jobs out there for that. There's music education, so you can be a public school teacher in music, which, hats off to you guys, man, you are my heroes. And then there's also conducting, so you could be choir, you can go out and teach conducting, and then there's performance, and then there's music production, which you guys know much more about that than I do here at the radio. So there are lots of things you can do with a degree like that. The main thing is to sort of figure out what you really enjoy, and then follow those paths.
And sometimes, like, you didn't realize how much you were going to enjoy it until you were right in the thick of college.
Absolutely. And so I came upon it late. And usually when you come upon it that late, it's really hard to make up that time. And it was really hard. But I'm so glad that I stuck with it even when it got hard. So so that shouldn't deter people. If you come to it late, you can do it, but you do have to work twice as hard. Fair warning.
That's Dr. Jennifer Olson, and we have a piece from an album, a CD that you made with the help of a grant from the Region 2 Arts Council.
Correct.
So you can hear her Saturday at 7:30 at the Bangsbury Recital Hall, but tell us about the piece we're going to hear right now.
Absolutely. This is Engenho Novo, which is part of a cycle written by Hernani Braga, who is a Brazilian composer, and it is what we call a coco, or a dance rhythm, and it's got a lot of African influence, and it is in Brazilian. I did this with Dr. Ana Maria Otamendi, who is the head of collaborative piano at LSU, and we really enjoyed this project. We rehearsed and recorded it here in Bemidji in 2016.
That was Jennifer Olson. You can hear her Saturday, Bangsburg Fine Arts, 7:30 p.m. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.